All right, well said. Good evening. Let us begin. So we are on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph 16a, and I believe we left off Tanu Rabbanan, which is 2, 2, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines up from the bottom. So remember, again, the Mishnah was talking about the interesting topic about what, you know, what spiritual activity you're allowed to engage in while on the job. You're working for someone, so now specifically in the realm of tefillah, what are you allowed or not allowed to do? So turn around, so continue on the same theme. Hapolim shayu osim malacha etzal balabayis. So if you have workers who are doing work by the balabayis, korin kriyashma, so they can read shma, umevarchin lefanel lachara. Now here's interesting, because the Mishnah adds on some stuff. The Mishnah says they could recite the blessings of shma, the blessings before shma and after shma. Va'ochlin pitan, furthermore, when they eat their bread, so umevarchin lefanel lacharecha, they can make a bracha before they eat and a bracha after they eat, benching. Umispalulin tefillah shel shmona esrei, and they could even daven shmona esrei. So this is actually like a pretty expansive list. So pretty much, right, we've got shema with brachos beforehand and afterwards. We've got shmona esrei. We've got, if they sit down for a meal, they can make a bracha before they eat and after they eat. Good. And what happens? Aval, ein yardin lifnei hateva. But what can't you do? They can't go ahead and do chazar sashatz. So no chazan's repetition, right? Ve'ein no sin kapehem. And no duchening. And no duchening. So it's interesting. So in other words, just limitations. So you can't do the chazan's repetition, and you can't go ahead and duchen. Ay, va'tanya me'ein yurchas. So we'll say, so now we see a more expansive list. I see the Gemara says, but 1 second. But elsewhere it's quoted that they don't daven shmona, so they daven something that's called havinenu. And I will say, we're going to talk about this actually in a couple of weeks. The concept that we're going to see in the fourth chapter of Brachas, there's a concept of havinenu. Havinenu is a shortened form of shmona esrei. Essentially, what it is it's the first three brachos, the last three brachos, and then the middle 13 brachos are condensed into one paragraph. You're like, sign me up. I'll take that. So I'll say something actually interesting. When I first came to the shul, so Rabbi Price, Zichrono Levracha, so this was obviously, this was his office, long before it was mine. When I came, there were svarim on the bookshelves. And I asked, you know, Rabbi Price about if she wanted. She said, no, it's the stuff that's in the office, you know. And so it was fascinating. He had a sitter from World War II, from the chaplaincy corps, right? World War II sitter. It's fascinating. So I opened it up, and interestingly enough, it has Havinenu. It does not have the full form of Shmona Esrei. All it has is the shortened form of Shmona Esrei. Again, we're going to learn about this more, but it's fascinating. Like a wartime sitter, and that's what it had printed in it. It was fantastic, really incredible. I have to track it. I don't know. Really?
Yeah, I'll bring it in.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. You've seen it. It has Havinenu in it, right?
It's something different. It's abbreviated.
Yeah. Should I be also have it? Yeah. So it's just fascinating. Again, we'll talk. We're gonna spend more time about it. What's wrong? Taking pages, yes. This is not selectively taking pages out of your sitter. That is correct. So again, we'll talk about it more. But the point Gemara is making over here is, on one hand, you have a brisa saying that when the workers, they daven a full Shmona Esrei. Yet another opinion says they only daven a shortened form of Shmona Esrei. Havinenu. Amar Sheshes Lokasha, Harabegamil Hariyoshua. So the Gemara says, it's not a contradiction. There's actually two different opinions. We're going to see, again, we'll get to this. We'll see Rabbi Gamliel holds that in general, a person always davens a full Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yeshua says a person never davens a full Shmona Esrei. A person should daven the shortened form of Shmona Esrei. Why? Because the most important thing about Shmona Esrei is Kavana. And therefore, the assumption is the shorter the Shmona Esrei is, ultimately, the better your chances for Kavana. So we'll discuss kind of how we reconcile all of this in the Yetz Hashem in the later on we get to the fourth parak. Okay. Good. So Gemara says, Iri Rabbi Yoshua, but if it's Rabbi Yoshua, then my Iri Apollim. Then the truth is, this is not just the din and workers. Everyone says a shortened Shmona Esrei. If you look, call Adam Nami. You're right. They're both Rabbi Gamliel. So we'll say, so if they're both Rabbi Gamliel, why in one place does Rabbi Gamliel say that workers say a full Shmona Esrei? And why in a different place does Rabbi Gamliel say workers say a shortened Shmona Esrei? So this is fascinating. Kan ba'osin bischaran, kan ba'osin b'se'udasan. So we'll say this is fascinating. So historically, in times of the Gemara, when you hired workers, workers were often hired in one of two ways, right? You paid, there were like two different wage scales. So one wage scale was you paid people food. In other words, come work for me, I'll give you your meals. That was your payment. Other possibility was, no, you get a set, you get whatever, a wage. And here's what's interesting. So it was understood that if you're only paying a person in meals, so what's the trade-off? You know, if you're only getting paid in meals, then what? I guess the way it works is like you have greater job flexibility, right? In other words, you're only getting paid in food. So because of that, again, it's understood that because you're not actually commanding a real wage, so therefore there's going to be more flexibility on the job. Therefore, if you're only getting paid in food, you daven a full Shmona Esrei, right? Because the understanding is your employer gives you the time. If on the other hand, you are getting paid a wage, so if you're getting paid a wage, you're on the clock. If you're on the clock, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, you have to daven a shortened Shmona Esrei. So I'll say, so again, when we get to the fourth chapter of Brachos, we'll get into a lot of these halachas, but I think if nothing else, as I mentioned last night, what it does sensitize us to is the concept that if I am on someone else, if I'm getting paid by someone and I'm on their clock, you know, I'm on their time, I do have to be sensitive to that and recognize that I don't necessarily have complete liberty with how I spend my time. Incredible. Vatanya, but we learned. Hapolim shayu osim malacha itza balabayis. But yet we learned that here's another braisa. If workers were working together with the balabayis, so let's just imagine the following situation. I have a group of workers. I'm managing, right? So, right? I'm managing a group of workers. So what happens? So now we're all working together. So what's talacha? Korin kriya shema. The workers are allowed to say shema. Umispalalim. And they can daven shmon esrei. Ba'ochlin piton. And they eat their bread. Ve'in mevarchin lefanehel. But they don't make a bracha before they eat. Again, we'll talk about this more in depth when we get to the sixth parak of brachas. Aval mevarchin lacharehel. But they make a bracha after they eat. Now, it's interesting. Why would there be a distinction between the bracha of hamotzi, right, and birkas hamazon and benching? Remember, hamotzi is dirabanon, rabbinic. Birkas hamazon, benching is biblical. So what it sounds like over here is, if you're on the job, you can make your biblical brachas, but you're not going to make your rabbinic brachas. Ketzad, I'm sorry, v'amavarchan l'acharei shtayim. But afterwards, ultimately, again, you only go ahead and you make two brachas afterwards. So the Gemara says, ketzad, good. Ketzad. So what's the case? Bracha rishon akitikuna. So again, it's just showing you how benching is set up. The first bracha, ultimately, again, you recite in a normal way. Shnia aposeach bebirchas haaretz v'kolam bonei Yerushalayim bebirchas haaretz. So again, so fine. So the point over here is, once again, what do you see? You see that there's different expectations when for workers. Tosh Gemara says again, b'medra amorim, when is this? So bosin bischaron. So now the Gemara answers again. You're right. When you are getting paid a wage, there are limitations. When you're getting paid a wage, so there are limitations on the types and duration of spiritual activity you are allowed to engage in. Right, so there's a machlokis, what it is. So one example might be that if you're getting paid a wage, you can recite benching, because that's biblical, but you can't recite hamotzi, which is rabbinic. Or, you know, if you're going ahead and you're getting paid a wage, you know, you can't do chazar sashatz, or you can't do duchning. But interestingly enough, if you're not getting paid a wage, but you're getting paid in food, or the balabayis, your employer, is working with you and davening alongside you and eating alongside you, then since he's doing these things, the assumption is he's okay with you doing them as well. So it's interesting. So really what comes out is, if you are a salaried worker or getting a wage, then you really have to curtail your spiritual activity to make sure that you do what you have to do, but that it doesn't impinge on or it doesn't infringe on your responsibilities. But either if you're getting paid in food, more flexibility, or the balabais is working alongside of you, more flexibility as well. Incredible. So we'll say that brings an end to that sugya. Now we go back to the Mishnah. Chasan patur mikriyashma. So you remember, we actually spoke about this once before already. This is a great topic. So now the Mishnah said, a chasan, a groom who gets married, is pater from Shema, right? The night of his wedding. He doesn't have to say Shema on the wedding night. So it says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, let's analyze this. B'shiftecha beveisecha. Remember, the Torah says, when do you have to say Shema? When you're sitting in your house. So what does that mean? What does that refer to? Prat la'osek b'mitzvah. This excludes someone who is engaged in a mitzvah. So in other words, b'shifticha b'veisecha just means like, if you're doing your thing, that's when you're obligated to say Shema. But ultimately, again, if you're engaged in a mitzvah, you're not obligated. Remember we spoke about this? That's the osik b'mitzvah pata b'mitzvah. So if you're engaged in one mitzvah, by definition, you're exempt from having to do something else. Okay, u'belechtecha b'derech, or if you're walking on the way, what does that come to exclude? Prat l'chasan. This comes to exclude a chasan. That a chasan, again, the chasan on his wedding night. Chasan on his wedding night doesn't have to say Shema. Mikan amru akonis es habesula pater v'samon achayif. So from here you see that if a man is marrying a besula, besula literally is a virgin. In other words, first marriage, he doesn't have to say Shema. But if he's marrying a widow, now a widow doesn't just have to mean a widow. The idea is second marriage, then he does say Shema, yes. Oh, Baruch Shekivanta, hold on one second. So the Gemara says, my mashma. So exactly Leib's question. So I don't understand. I understand the words, but I don't understand the drasha. How does ubelechtecha baderech come to exclude a chasan? To which the Gemara says, Amrapa bar shekivanto, Amrapa ki derech. Because what does derech mean? Ma derech rishus, af hachanami rishus. So just like derech, right? Just like derech. Derech, the assumption is just like an optional journey. So belechtecha baderech, if you're engaged in something optional, then you have to say Shema. But ultimately, again, if it's not something optional, but it's something, again, of a mitzvah nature, then you're exempt. So Gemara says, how do you know? Milo askinan dekazlo dvar mitzvah. Maybe belechtecha baderech is talking about where you're traveling for a mitzvah. Maybe that's what it means over here. The Gemara says, v'afilu hachi, and even with all of that, amarachmano likri. The Torah still says that you should go ahead and read Shema. Im kein limakra beleches. If then it should just say beleches. Beleches means walking. My belechtecha. Now belechtecha, remember again, is personal possessive. Right? When you walk, you're walking. That's literally what it means, right? When you engage in your own walking, shma mina beleches didach hud mechayeves had mitzvah patiras. The idea over here is, if you're engaged in your own walking, meaning in other words, if you're engaged in your own activities of daily living, then halacha lemaisa, you're obligated to go out and say Shema. But, but if you are engaged in a mitzvah, so since you're engaged in one mitzvah, you're exempted ultimately again from Shema. So the Gemara is supposed to say, Amud Beis, Ihachi, my iri akornis habesu, afil akornis salmona, nami. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So if that's the case, that it's about a mitzvah, so getting married is a mitzvah. What does it matter if you're marrying a basula or you're marrying an ammana? What does it matter if it's a first marriage or a second marriage? The performance of a mitzvah should exempt you from Shema. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. Hacha tarid v'hacha lo tarid. So we'll say, we saw this already once, remember. So we begin to see something very interesting. It's not just about mitzvah, but rather, again, it's about preoccupation with the mitzvah. So the idea over here is when a man is getting married, and he's getting married for the first time, and it's his wife's first time, there's a certain preoccupation, and I would say like almost like anxiety, that has to do with the intimacy that is going to occur that evening. That preoccupation, that anxiety, that's what ultimately, but the fact that it's preoccupation, anxiety with the mitzvah, that's ultimately what exempts him. Even though getting married a second time is also a mitzvah, there's not the same level of preoccupation. So because of that, you'd be obligated to say Shema. So Gemara says, one second. Imishum tirda, so now if you're telling me preoccupation is what exempts you from saying Shema, so if that's the case, afilu tava svina sovayam. But let's say again, you know, I checked my portfolio before davening. Always a very bad idea, right? Never check your stocks before davening. And you know what? I'm down a lot. That's the contemporary equivalent of your boat sinking, right? It's the same. In other words, so now if you're telling me preoccupation is a reason to exempt me from Shema, now let's say again, I lost money, my boat sank, my portfolio is down, the business deal, you know, went sideways. So now I should also be exempt from Shema because I'm preoccupied with this. To which the Gemara says, no. Alama Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amarav Avil Chai B'Chala Mitzvah Samuras B'Tara Chutz Min HaTfilin Sharei Ne'emar Bahen Fe'er Shene'emar Fe'ercha Chavush Alecha. Yet Rabbi say, we see that preoccupation by itself does not exempt you from a mitzvah. Where do we see that? From this interesting paradigmatic example of that is an Avel, a mourner. A mourner is obligated in all mitzvos. Right now, remember, we're not talking about aninos, right? Aninos is a period between death and burial. where there's a forced exemption from Avelos. We're talking about from mitzvos. We're talking about during Avelos itself. Now, one could say the Avel is clearly, the mourner is clearly preoccupied with his loss. Right? So he's preoccupied with his loss, why isn't he exempted from mitzvos? Yet we see the only thing that a mourner doesn't do, specifically on the first day, is wear tefillin. And that's also because of a whole specific discussion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the prophet Yechezkel, which you don't have to delve into right now. But the point over here is you see that tirda, preoccupation, is not a reason to exempt someone from mitzvos. So what's going on? Amri Hasam, tirda de reshus, hacha, tirda de mitzvah. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's not just any preoccupation. Rather, again, what is it? It's mitzvah preoccupation. When you are preoccupied with a mitzvah, that ultimately, again, exempts you from saying Shema. Now, I just want to point out, there's really two different exemptions happening over here. There's a general concept of osek b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. If I'm engaged in the performance of one mitzvah, so ultimately, again, that exempts me. So we're going to see, by the way, the paradigmatic example of that is, it's not a good example, but it's the Gemara's example. I am helping out with the burial of someone. Someone passed away. I'm transporting the coffin. I'm transporting the funeral bier, right? So now, again, I look at my watch. I'm like, oh gosh, it's time for Shema. But I can't do Shema now because first of all, you're not allowed to do a mitzvah directly in the presence of the deceased. So again, I don't have to drop the mace and go run and say Shema, but rather, again, the idea is, oh, sikba mitzvah pata minas. I'm engaged in the performance of a mitzvah, in this case, caring for the dead. Therefore, I'm exempt. So that's one level. What the Mishnah was introducing us now with the Chassan is, let's play this out. Reuben's getting married to Rachel. First marriage. So now again, it's the night of the wedding. It's the night of the wedding. Everyone is davening Ma'ariv, right? So Reuben doesn't have to say Shema. Why not? Now, it's not Osik B'mitzvah Pata Min HaMitzvah, right? Why? He's not engaged, right? He's not being intimate with his wife, or is that the Chassan, right? There's no involvement in the mitzvah. But rather, again, what it is it's preoccupation with the mitzvah, which is interesting, right? So now there's this concept that if you are preoccupied with the performance of a mitzvah, that in and of itself could exempt you. Now, just to be clear, there's only one example that fits into that category, right? In other words, that you can't say, you know what, listen, I just think about mitzvahs all day, right? I'm totally preoccupied with mitzvahs. I can't make it to davening, right? I'm sorry, I can't. I'm too much. The only case that it works is the chasen. And it makes sense. He's thinking about the consummation of the marriage. It's a little. It could be overwhelming. Could be distracting. Could be anxiety provoking for him, right? And ultimately, again, that preoccupation is what exempts him. So preoccupation with a mitzvah also grounds to exempt you from a mitzvah. Okay. Let's just read to you the next line of the Mishnah, which is actually just. We'll stop here for tonight. But just the Mishnah is incredible. Just want to show you something. The Mishnah says, "Rachatz alayla harishon shemesa ishto." Now, I just want to point out something amazing. In the last Mishnah, the Mishnah spoke about the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel. And how when on the night Rabbi Gamliel got married, on his wedding night, he said Shema. And the student said, but Rabbi, you taught us that a chassan doesn't say Shema. And Rabbi Gamliel said that, again, you know, I'm not going to listen to you to prevent me from saying Shema. What happens now in this Mishnah? Now the Mishnah goes to, his wife passed away, and what happens? The day she passed away, he bathed, even though there's normally a restriction on bathing for an aval. So we'll talk about this more, Meretz Hashem, in the next week's shir. How incredible is it? Rabbi Gamliel's wife didn't pass away when he was young. It's just that sometimes life goes by so quickly, like from one Mishnah to the next. We know this. And as we get older, the pace of life accelerates even more. And as life cycle events and you know, go by, and so sometimes the Gemara teaches us, even just not through the spoken word, how in one Mishnah, you're just starting out life, and in another Mishnah, again, saying goodbye to a life partner. And all of that could be years and decades in between, halavai, but yet then again, in the grand scheme of things, sometimes it just feels like the turning of one page. All right, Tebosai, Shkoyach, everyone is invited to join us for Chassidus. I'm sure there is a gastronomically friendly menu available tonight in Mirzan Sham. Shkach, I will say.